I want to do that to people?
Good morning, good afternoon, and good evening. This is Jay Leesk, and you're listening to another episode of Buzzkill.
That's right, Jay. Thanks for the introduction there. Really appreciate it. My name's Hunter Willis. Love being here with Jay today, talking about the things that are not popular and easy to talk about when it comes to IT and organizations. And today, we are going to be talking about success criteria / the definition of success when it comes to project implementations, rollout, and another good way to say it is like the adoption of services, maybe we'll say. Yeah, Jay?
Yeah, absolutely. It's funny. I just did a webinar yesterday with one of the AvePoint partners, the Pate Group, and the marketing team handed
us. Hi, Mark
us
Brackley. Hi. Sorry, go ahead.
Actually, I did it with Stephanie. It was
hi, Stephanie Donahue. Hi.
But it was funny. Marketing, you know, AvePoint marketing came to us and said, what do you guys think of this synopsis? Here are these four tactics we'd love you to focus on. And Stephanie and I agreed to it. And then we finally sat down to build the presentation. And we're like, yeah, well, this is good. We'll talk about this. We'll use this customer case study as an example of, you know, building off of, you know. But we need to talk about like planning, and the four criteria didn't include planning. And like, as we started pushing it all together, it made me laugh. And the reason this is relevant is because marketing came to us and said, here are four technical things we want you to talk about. And the two IT pros went, great, but let's talk about planning first. Like, it totally fit this same thing is, you know, we're going to talk about the definition of success here. And from an IT perspective, the definition of success has a very straightforward, technical, quantifiable thing. And it doesn't work anymore. Like, you have to stop and go, wait, how do we know we actually succeeded in the end of all this?
Right. So Jay, why don't you talk a little bit about what that technical quantifiable thing used to be traditionally?
Well, okay. So I actually come from a project management background. I'm a certified PMP. I looked at the triple constraints and understood that you had to deal with these different criteria to make sure your project was successful. And ultimately the most often quantifiable metrics we looked at were budget, time, and, you know, and from an IT perspective, it's the same thing. Like, oh, we rolled out SharePoint 2007 and, you know, it cost us $100,000 to do it. And we budgeted $150,000 and we did it in 2 months and we said it might take 3 months. And look at that. We're successful and we're done and we've rolled off.
Hey, yo.
And that doesn't work anymore. Like, that doesn't mean it was successful. In fact, SharePoint 2007 has such a terrible reputation because that's exactly what IT organizations did. And the end users were like, well, this is a piece of crap. Here are all my files and 17 levels of folders and subsites. And, oh, I just shared a compensation plan. And like it doesn't work.
So what does work, right? The response is in our heads, then what do we do? What do we do to be successful? And there's a lot of people that I'm sure have already reached this conclusion, right? Well, you need a better way and a better goal for your rollout than just, hey, we got it working. And so the immediate response is like, okay, well, our goals really are, number one, what's important to ID fundamentally. And then number two, like, what is the role that this project or whatever we're trying to accomplish with IT fulfilling for the business? So is it working? Okay. Maybe that's not the only goal, but that should be a goal, right? Like, so we're going to deploy it, install it. It's under budget and it works. So that's one thing, right? So another thing to worry about is like, okay, so we install the solution and then we get the users to use it. And I feel like in the timeline of how the mentality towards all of this has progressed for a lot of folks, number one was like the old days. And number two has been what we've seen in the beginning of the cloud adoption cycle is like, okay, we turned it on and it's working, but then it's kind of transformed to this position of like, okay, well, are the users using it, right?
Right.
So now we've got these metrics of like, okay, I need adoption statistics to prove people are actually using this thing. And that's become really important. Okay, so I connected to Power BI and I've got my data exported and I can generate a spreadsheet and show it to a stakeholder and say, yeah, look, we installed it and people are using it. And they're like, oh, that's great. All right, that's fantastic. We've got this tool. People are using it. Right. But then there's this third aspect of things. is it actually making the business more productive? Do people know how to use it? Or are they logging on every day because we said you have to log on every day, right?
Yep.
So that's another, yet another thing that we need to add to this equation. So the kind of the conclusion that we came to as an overall statement that you can apply to any project, and of course, you know, there's going to be specifics that you could add to this statement, but we installed it, people are using it, and they're becoming more productive because they're using it successfully, right? So
yeah.
Then the question now, after we kind of put that together, the question becomes, how do we quantify it? How can we prove this, right?
Yeah. So let's step back for a second. I want to point this out. So we kind of created our own triple constraints. I mentioned the project manager triple constraints earlier without actually saying what they were for reasons. But like, we've kind of created our own triple constraints here. So if we're talking about the definition of success, you know, I posit that there are your traditional success criteria. It's installed. It met the cost and time constraints that we said we would meet. Great. You know, step one. The second piece of those constraints would be that people are actually using it. And then third, there's a value question. Are they getting value out of this? Is it making their job easier? So those are, I think, if we were to do a diagram and watch, there's going to be one like appearing right over my head after post-production. There's a diagram. It's got traditional success, user success, and value. So yeah, how do we do that, right? How do we sit there at the end and go, I get value out of this? Like that's an unquantifiable statement.
Right. So we have to look at their current pace, like users' current pace of productivity. I think it's important to look at their, and these are just considerations that I'm throwing out there for this, right? Like their pace of productivity, the organization's pace of productivity, also pace of perceived productivity, right? Do people feel confident with it? Do they feel like they're doing a better job? Right.
Yeah.
Is it, and again, do those things combine to bring actual value to the organization? Is the organization performing better because of it? And do the stakeholders, for instance, feel that it's providing value too? Okay.
Yep.
And so another reason that it's important to come up with these metrics and kind of the overall goal is that you're not just fulfilling your like mission for the project yourself. You're also, this can be an enormous opportunity to prove your value to the organization, but you really need to do it and you have to be successful in order for it to work, right? Which is like, okay, we're heading towards the right thing. So how then do we actually quantify these considerations that build the value that we're talking about then, right?
Yeah, so I go back to and going back to that webinar I was talking about with Stephanie, I go back to the fact that you have to start with planning. You have to sit down and understand, why are we doing this? What is the goal for making this change? And if the only goal is because the license for product B is cheaper than the license for product A was, then you're going to have a hard time proving value. But if the goal is something else, like, well, storage costs in our own hardware is pretty high, so we'd like to go to the SaaS platform, which has cheaper storage options. Or if the value is this is going to decrease the frustration that our users have with trying to access their content, okay, now we have something we can work towards. How do we quantify their frustration? How do we, you know, is it a regular survey? And honestly, like it's not as silly as it sounds. Do we send a quarterly survey out starting right now and ask questions about usability of the product? And if we do, then we got to decide how often are we going to do this? And you got to make sure that the questions you're asking are things you can quantify. I the first time I started doing surveys for one of my customers as a consultant, I was reminded very clearly, like, open-ended questions are fantastic if you're trying to get quotes from people. But if you're trying to understand sentiment, you better make sure you are asking a question that is very specifically styled and that you are giving yeses and nos or ones through fives and you're defining what those numbers mean. And then the other key part of that is if you ask, are you frustrated finding files 1 through 5? Terrible question, but give me a moment. you better make sure that 6 months from now, when you send your second survey, you're asking the same question with the same scale. That's because right. Otherwise, what are you comparing from quarter to quarter or survey to survey?
And even, you know, in some cases, you might want to even explain what the scale is or do a training on yes. the scale before you start to, you know, sending it out to people so that people can actually have an understanding of what they're looking at and why it's important, right? And this goes back to another thing. So we've touched on building a survey and the feedback loop and communication in previous episodes. Mm-hmm. We've also touched on what I'm about to talk about here for a second. And that is the whole aspect of like communicating and making sure they're clear and also training.
Right.
These are things that we touch on a lot in every single one of our episodes. We've also have touched on this concept of like a survey that's going out. But I think that it's important to reiterate like the when we look at these feedback, like Jay just said, you do want to have it quantifiable, but you also have to keep in mind, I think what I'm trying to say is that is it obvious that I'm putting it together in my head as I'm talking? No,
it's
so
okay.
It's to say that it sounds so much better if you have, not only can you look at it and see, hey, you know, the numbers are increasing, but
yes.
when you can go back to your stakeholders and say, well, 2 months ago, 4 out of 10 users in the organization said that this was like a very frustrating process, but now 60% of the organization gave us 5 stars that it's better.
Yeah. Right? Yeah, absolutely.
That speaks so much louder to your organization and your team's capability yeah. to help out the organization. And it also proves your value and the value of the solutions that you're implementing, right? Yep. To everyone that's there.
Now it's interesting because both of our examples were traditionally unquantifiable or they were, they're metrics that require a person to, what's the word I'm looking for?
They're
their
subjective.
Personal opinion. It's subjective. Thank you.
It's not completely objective.
And that comes back to why are we doing this? So you want to define success for a platform. Let's say a rollout of Microsoft 365, the Office 365, Teams, whatever. You want to justify 6 months from now the definition of success. You have to understand why you're doing it. So if you're doing it, again, for cost savings, then you need to figure out, okay, so I need to show a return on my investment. To do that, I need to know how long does it take for somebody, and Hunter, you actually did this exercise for us on the governance side. How long does it take for somebody to do a particular action? And then 6 months from now, I need to figure out, okay, now how long does it take you to do that action? That's one way you can do it. I had a sales guy once who sold one of our products by showing to the CIO of our customer that for the cost of a Starbucks coffee per day, they could increase that would be their return on investment. The cost of a Starbucks coffee a day, they would save X amount of time. Jeez, that was poorly said.
I got it.
And so it comes back down to why are we doing this? I'm trying to save money. Okay. If you're trying to save money, where are you bleeding? Where is the money going? Is it license costs? Okay. Is it inefficiency? I love that phrase. Software vendors love to talk to you about how they're going to increase efficiency. Okay, let's talk about what tasks you're going to increase efficiency on so we can quantify how much that task takes now and what it takes later.
Microsoft did this with the My Analytics app. Their whole pitch on My Analytics was how much more productive people can become when they get suggestions about how they're working in their day and can actually like see those numbers. And they had, you know, they would attach a number value to it. You know, ServiceNow also has like a calculator about how much time you can save using their product by entering in the stuff, right? So like the other side to this though too, and again, something that we've touched on in so many episodes, that's so, so important. Users also need to understand why what you're doing is important to them.
Yeah, with right? him.
Because, yeah, exactly. So, but it's
please
to say
explain
that,
what that means. Don't just walk past it.
Right.
Jay sneezed so again.
You're telling a user, hey, is this thing doing X, Y, or Z better for you, right? Well, if I'm a user, I'm not really going to understand the context of that question unless I've been trained and unless I know the whole reason all this is happening. Why are we doing this implementation? right? From a user standpoint, why should I even care about this survey that's coming to me, right? Am I supposed to be more productive? Is it just a security tool? Is it supposed to be more secure? Am I just telling you that security is better somehow, right? Am I supposed to feel better? I mean, there's a lot of apps out there for like HR stuff that are designed to like increase the morale of the organization or make employee feels more connected as an employee. Is that the point, right? So they're not going to understand that. And if you talk to five people about any one topic, you know that people are going to interpret anything that you send them in a lot of different ways. So again, back to this feedback loop in communication, it's really important to be concise, but also clear about the reasons why, and make sure that people are trained on how to do things in the right way.
Yeah. So let's kind of rewind a little bit. So what are we talking about? For an IT organization to roll out technology, they have to be able to define success. Otherwise, year after year, you're just going to keep losing funds. You're going to keep having to cut back. You're going to keep having to do more with less. And you're going to be in a position where many IT organizations are today, where they can't do what they need to be able to do. So to be able to grow, to be able to provide the value to your company, you need to stop and say, why are we doing something? So that goes back to the pause for planning conversation that Hunter and I have had time and time again. When you pause for planning, you're going to figure out, what are we doing? Why are we doing it? What is success in the eyes of our sponsor, whoever the senior sponsor is of this project? What is success in the eyes of the end user, the people who are going to be using this tool, if there are, in fact, people going to be using this tool? I know there are some things that are behind the scenes. Mm-hmm. And once we've started to do that, now we start to build our entire program around those questions. And what do I mean by that? So from an implementation perspective, gone are the days of waterfall projects. You do all your planning up front, and then at the very end, you just drop it out on people's shoulders. You can't do that anymore. So you have to start by actually like figuring out what are some early things that we can be successful with and rolling those things out first. With Office 365, I often hear people talk about the greenfield approach to rolling it out. What that means is new workloads are going to roll out in Office 365, and we will show value and success in that platform. And then little by little, we'll start to migrate existing workloads into that platform once people have bought into the tool. So that's one example. The next piece, so we started by planning and asking the questions of what's successful. Then we moved into the implementation and taking those success criteria and identifying some quick pieces. Then you have to work into training. Well, okay, if I'm going to try and train someone how to use this platform, I need to understand the WIFM, what's in it for me, what's in it for the end user. And I need to make sure my training helps them see that value, helps them see what their success criteria are and how they're being met. And you can slowly start to see that by defining success at the very beginning, everything from implementation to training to rollout to rolling off the project and handing it over to an O&M team, every piece of that is guided by knowing what is it to be successful with this tool.
Yep. And if you can, you know, Jay mentioned this earlier, and I talked a little bit about this too. It is pretty easy to, in some ways, to calculate your return on investment, right? But you got to understand what you're putting together in order for that to take place, right? As Jay mentioned earlier, are you looking at just the cost, the raw cost of software and savings when it comes to that? Over time, and if you keep metrics of it, you can build a nice graph of what this looked like. But you know, if you look at how much time you're actually saving people and can get just vague salary ranges from your organization to understand what it, because you're not going to be able to get how much people are making, but you can generally average out salary ranges from an HR perspective, right? If you talk to the right people, you'll be able to calculate hourly, right, how much time in the form of money people are saving, or I should really say how much money in the form of the amount of time that they're spending people are saving just by using the application. And, you know, like for now, for instance, right now in times of COVID, There's other factors to bring into this, like, for instance, the fact that with tools like Microsoft Teams, or, you know, people are using like Slack or G Suite or other cloud collaboration platforms, they're able to keep working when before they would not have been able to. And you could have experienced, for instance, days of downtime while other solutions were getting rolled out. But if your organization had already done this, you know, those are other things that you could quantify. So sitting down, it's a lot. It can be a lot of information, but if you sit down with an Excel spreadsheet, it's actually kind of easy to work out the numbers and how they correlate to one another. Or if you know somebody that's really good at math and that likes Excel a lot, maybe in an accounting department, they can help you figure that out too. But also, right, when you're looking at the data that you've collected, the ROI when it comes to dollars and cents is something that's really important. But you're also, again, it's so important, as Jay mentioned, on to keep a consistent set of questions that go across the whole rollout, and don't stop sending that survey. You know, keep sending it over time and make those questions scalable for time as people continue to use the software. And so you can kind of track, you know, maybe your company goes through a lot of hiring or a lot of letting go of people. You can kind of keep track of, you know, what that process management and change management looks like over time for your organization. And on top of that, be able to, you know, put those metrics into a graph. Maybe you want to keep an Excel spreadsheet where all that stuff is nice and organized, so it's easy to present. You know, put it into a Power BI desktop sheet, snap a screenshot of it, put it into a PowerPoint deck, and, you know, show the stakeholders, hey, this is where we are. I need more people for training, or this is where we are. Didn't I do fantastic? I did so great. Look at these numbers. It's lovely. So in summary, okay, for all of this stuff that we've talked about, right, the things that we're talking about overall are, number one, make sure you have appropriate definition for success that includes productivity, that includes, you know, the fact that you've installed the solution and it's actually working, hopefully under budget, right? Yep. And also includes the fact that people are actually using the solution. So have a multi-factor, you know, criteria for success that includes productivity for the business, adoption, and the solution working. So that was the first thing that we touched on. Then make sure that you sit down and have a success criteria that you can quantify that supports that mission statement, right? So break it down into questions that you can ask your organization, and either have one set or multiple sets of questions so that you can have, you know, track your rollout, but also potentially have another set of questions, or you make that first set of questions the same as an ongoing set that you can continuously ask your organization, because that rollout really technically never ends, right? There's always onboarding, there's always change management. You want to make sure that it improves over time. So essentially, make those questions so that you can continue to send them over time. And then lastly, be able to track for yourself, have a system of recording the data that comes in from that feedback, be able to track it over time, and also have a way to track the ROI of your success metric over time. Keep records of it, keep it organized, and have a way to easily present it to stakeholders to prove your success, because perception is reality, right? If you can't clearly explain this to people, you know. And then on the software side, it's make sure users understand what's in it for them, and make sure that your training reflects and empowers people to be able to meet that success criteria.
So you just wrapped it up in a nice little bow, and I'm gonna pull one little thing out and make your whole tower crumble down.
Sweet, love it when you do that.
I'm curious. So someone's listening to this conversation. They're saying, "Yeah, that's all great and all, but how do I actually do it?" And this is the part that we don't always get to, which is, yeah, we've talked about how important it is, but how does an IT organization structured with the old definition of success change their model and support this new model, these new triple constraints of the traditional success, the use of it, and then the value that comes out of it? Do you have any thoughts, or you want me to do it?
Well, I'll start. You know, you need stakeholders on board, first off, right? You need to get people to understand it. So if you're not a great communicator or don't feel like you are, get people to help with you, help you with it, right? Marketing teams are a great place to start with that. You know, get people's buy-in initially as well. Don't go in it alone. Don't go in it just from an IT perspective. everybody wants their software to be easier to use, right? There's not alone in that. And so get other people in the organization to help you out with this. And I think that especially when you're talking to stakeholders, the softer side of everything that we talked about is great. But I think that what they don't get a lot of times, and I think that the important thing to communicate when you're pitching this to stakeholders is how much money time costs, right? Frame things in the message of opportunity cost and make them understand the hours and that hours add up to money. Make them understand the time and the pain that people are going through to try to get things done using existing tools or doing it the way that's not good. And make them understand that you can do this and it's been done in the past and this is how we prove that it happens when the outcome is there. But last thing I'll mention before I turn it back over to Jay to address the same topic is make sure you're setting yourself up for success, right? Don't throw out metrics and don't set goals that you don't feel like you can realistically accomplish, right? Set real goals. You know your end users, right? Maybe start with baby steps. Maybe start with baby steps if you're trying to change some minds. Set some short-term goals. Maybe do a minor changes in some processes with a new application or existing applications for subsets of users and kind of show people, right? Here's what we did and here's how it got better.
Now you touched on the one that really hit me too. Like the real piece I think many organizations are going to be missing right now, you touched on this, was if you don't feel like you're a good communicator, get yourself a good communicator. So that means reach outside of IT and find somebody who can help you to communicate what's going to happen. And what that's an example of, and I think I actually just put down for our next episode to do this, is if your IT organization is built around the traditional project success criteria, budget and time, then you need to consider how to restructure your IT organization. And I don't mean fire everybody and hire all new people, but look at your people and look at what skills they have outside of their, you know, traditional dev or traditional testing or whatever, and see if they can stretch. Or yes, bring in somebody who can do some of the gaps that you have. Bring in a BA to start interviewing the end users. Bring in somebody for a short period of time to talk to leadership to understand, why did you make this decision? What are your strategic goals for the organization for the next 3 years? So I put down for next episode, Hunter, hopefully you'll buy into this, is let's do an episode on the modern IT organization. What does it take to be successful? From a staffing perspective.
Modern IT organization, what does it take to be successful? Jay, that sounds fantastic to me. Everyone, I hope that sounds fantastic to you. Thanks for listening today. We really appreciate it. My name's Hunter Whitless. This is Jay Leask. You were listening to
Buzzkill.
That's what I pointed at the screen. I didn't point at the camera, though. I should have done that. That's Jay Leask. You are you. I'm me. I'm glad we got that taken away. What a great communicator I am. This is Buzzkill on the Spot podcast. If you have any comments or some examples of the things that we talked about today, please put them in the comments below. And if you disagree with us, don't be afraid to say so as well. And any of the points that we talked about today, we'd love to get some constructive feedback about this stuff, right? Anything that you've seen, or also strategies and maybe some examples of some surveys that you've done. Last thing I would say, too, check out the Microsoft Service Adoption Specialist certification. There's a lot of a lot of information on there. It's free to take the course, read the course, get the information and the examples. They do have example surveys and stuff like that. It's not just for Microsoft stuff. It's for any adoption that you do. It's kind of tailored towards Microsoft Teams, but it really is a general outline of what to do for application rollouts. So thanks again for watching, Jay.
Yeah, by now you're probably looking at the, there's a thing on the top that says, hey, go look at the latest Buzzkill, and at the bottom, go look at This Week in Teams. And while you're doing that, don't forget to click the subscribe button on the bottom of the corner there if you haven't already. And by all means, you're probably not even paying attention anymore. But thank you so much for a great conversation, Hunter, and I'll talk to you next time.
Yeah, see you next time, Jay. Thanks for watching.